This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Bill Raggio, my colleague and co-host, is a senior fellow for the Foundation for Defense of Democracies, where you will find routinely, several times a week, or at least once a week, filings by Ahmad Sharari, watching Syria especially, because that darkness-visible country is in a transition to which direction we cannot say. Over these last weeks, Ahmad has helped us understand the massacre in Sueda province in the south of Syria, now guarded, we're told, by a militia gathered together by the Druze community and aided by Israel. However, there is more trouble everywhere, the Kurds to the northeast, the Alawites on the coast, not to leave out that the Russians and the Turks and the Americans and the Israelis are all deployed inside sovereign territory at some extent. And then there's the excitement of anticipating that al-Shara, the man who is a self-named president of Syria, former leader of an al-Qaeda unit in Idlib province, is to speak at the UN later this month. Ahmad, a good evening to you. What are you watching for from the next 12, 10 days until Shara speaks in New York? What do you expect Syria to look like, to present itself to the world, and especially what he's going to say about his past? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. So I think Shara will stress on one point that he seeks to bring Syria back into the international community and to the fold of the UN and international cooperation, unlike what the Assad regime did. And Shara will be the first Syrian president to be make a speech to the UN since 1967. So even before the emergence of Hafez al-Assad, Bashar al-Assad's father. So I think he will stress that his ambition is to create a stable Syria that is united, that poses no threat to any of its neighbors. I don't think he will explicitly reference his jihadi past, but I think he wants to make the point that Syria needs a chance. It needs it, and that the United States as well as the Europeans need to give Syria that chance to develop economically, help in the reconstruction of Syria, bring in more investments, as well as political backing of Shara's new government.
Bill, you have a question for Ahmad.
Yes, Ahmad. Do you think that he'll be challenged at the UN with the two incidences of massacres that have taken place against the Druze, against the and against the Alawites over the not even the past year of his governance?
So looking at the international reactions following these massacres, I think the chances of a big challenge towards his armed forces and what they've done is a bit won't be that significant. Even after the massacres, we're still seeing more U.S. engagement, more European engagement. Even the invite to the UN came following the Sueda massacres. So I think that's a big testament to how the international community views it. And we've seen sentiments that Ahmed al-Shara is the only plan for Syria's success or Syria's stability. And I think we'll just see more reinforcements of that messaging throughout his visit as well as his speech.
Who benefits the most from al-Shara making a favorable impression at the UN? Riyadh, Ankara, Moscow? There's so many choices. Is there one in the lead?
I think Riyadh and Ankara are in the lead. I wouldn't give the top position to any one of them, but of course they all have different interests in Syria, and they're trying to hold that interest through different means, whether it's by investment through Saudi Arabia or through political and security backing from Turkey. But they will benefit the most from having the international community normalize with Shara as the president of Syria and the only path forward for Syria's stability.
Bill, remind the audience, as no doubt Shara will not, what his conduct was in Idlib province, quite different from speaking to the UN.
Yeah, well, Shara ran a group known as Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, which prior to that was known as Jabhat al-Nusra, and which prior to that was al-Qaeda's branch in Syria. And until it was delisted because Shara took over and basically disbanded Hayat Tahrir al-Shan, just rolled him into the military of his the military wing of his government. This was al-Qaeda in Syria, and in Idlib he imposed his harsh version of Sharia or Islamic law, very anti-democratic, all of the horrible things that come with jihadist interpretation of Sharia, which is, the women need to be covered and, lack of no democracy. They had posters up in Idlib province talking about how democracy was a sin. So the idea that the West believes the Shara is the next great hope for Syria is mind boggling to me, but this is where we are. And to me, there's no greater evidence between the Taliban takeover and of Afghanistan and the permission of Shara to rule Syria, the encouragement by the U.S. and the West. It's just all the evidence I need that we lost the war on terror.
You have a question for Ahmed.
Yes, Ahmed. What do we know about Shara's attempts to form a new government? Is, he claims that he's going to create a democratic government, but what is that government going to look like? What kind of influence will he wield?
Funny enough, I don't think Shara has uttered the word democracy until now, but yeah, he keeps talking about inclusivity, and that means incorporating or giving a voice to all of Syria's diverse minorities into decision making and power. But ever since he took over power, and he got appointed as president by 18 different militia leaders, all Sunni, all Muslim, or all loyal to him, or took part in the campaign against Assad. This was back in January. Then he drafted a constitution that was formed through a drafting committee that was appointed by him, composed of loyalists. The constitution gave him extensive powers to appoint cabinet members. These cabinet members, despite having four representatives of Syria's diverse communities, they're merely token representatives. They don't wield too much power. The more important ministries, like the Foreign Affairs, Defense, Interior, and Justice, are held by former HTS commanders or HTS-affiliated individuals. Same thing for the parliament. The parliament, there's parliamentary elections scheduled to be held this month. They will include minorities, but these will be token representatives. They will not portray the demands and requests and the concerns of their communities, but it will merely act as an echo chamber for pro-Shara sentiments. So we're seeing a move towards power consolidation, power centralization under his own hands. And like you said, I mean, he's moving towards amassing as much power as he can in order to hold Syria under his own hands.
Ahmed Sharari of the Foundation for Defense of Democracy is watching Syria. Bill Raggio, my colleague and co-host.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.